Thanks, Paul. My name's D. I'm an addict. Thanks for asking me to come here, Jay, to do the chair. It's always an honor and a privilege to be asked to share in an NA meeting. Thanks, Sue, for that chair. That was a fantastic chair. That really moved me. Just got to try and relax a bit, so I'm going to be quiet for a minute because my heart's beating. So I need to... I'm happy that I'm doing this chair, actually, because it's like you said, you only keep what you have by giving it away, and I'm glad I've got something to give away today, you know, because I try to work this program to the best of my ability. I've done the 12 steps. I've done everything that's suggested in the meetings. But before I get on to that, I'd like to say a little bit about my using. I really don't want to talk about my using, to tell the truth. I'd like to talk about my recovery today, because my using is not really who I am today. I've come a long way from that. I want to kind of talk about how I live my life today. And like you said, it's not all perfect. I make mistakes, but I try to live this program to the best of my ability, carry this, what's that word that they say, you know, live this thing. I'm stumped a little bit, so I'm gonna, a little bit nervous, I'm nervous. But that's okay as well, that's okay. I came to the fellowship, I was beaten, and it was the 26th of June, 1997. And I haven't had to pick up a drink or a drug since that day that I came to meetings. And I'd like to thank my higher power for that, really. And when I came in, I was really beaten financially, physically, mentally, you know, and I would have done anything. I would have done anything anyone would have said. Like they've said, D, what you have to do is stand in a corner, close your eyes and lift one leg up for an hour a day. I would have done that just to change the way my life was, because my life then was horrendous, really was horrendous. I was so unhappy, you know. I came to my first meeting. It was in Camden. And I'm sure that there are a few people in the meeting today who won't mind. They won't mind me mentioning their names. You know, they helped me. They really, really helped me. Paul was one of them. You know, John was one of them. Jason was one of them. Owen, Layla was one of them. Denise was one of those people. You know, and I believe at that time I was really lucky. Frank was one of them people. You know, he was. Seriously, they are. They're all those people. I believe I was. That was a special time in the fellowship then. You know, it was really, really special. And I'm lucky that I was part of that era, really, because the fellowship was. It's still good today. It really is still good. But then I believe, then it was my time. It really was my time. And I went to meetings, and I went every day. I went to meetings every day, because prior to that, going to meetings, I went into treatment, went into a detox, went into treatment, and I went to meetings, you know, and they said to me, you've got to do 90, no, they didn't say you've got to, they suggested to me to do 90 meetings in 90 days, and then I did over 90 meetings in 90 days, I did more than 90 meetings in 90 days. They said to me, I have to do service. I took on service commitment as if it was going out of fashion. You know, they said to me, I've got to get a sponsor. And I got a sponsor. They said to me, you have to do the steps. And I started with the steps. I want to talk a little bit about this fellowship kind of loving me before I could love myself. Because that was my experience. You know, that was my experience. there was a convention, a UK convention in Birmingham, it was. But prior to that, there was a convention about this time last year, this time 10 years ago, there was a convention in Bournemouth. I was still in treatment and I wanted to go. My key worker in treatment suggested, said, look, you go. I know someone in Bournemouth. You can stay with them. I went, got in contact with this guy. I slept on his floor. The guy took care of me. And I loved the convention. There were people at that convention that I hadn't seen for 10 years. People who I'd used with, people who I'd knocked around with, but they were in Bournemouth. They stayed in Bournemouth. And I thought, oh, this is really exciting. You know, there's so many people who are staying clean. So I came back to London. About a month or 2 months after that, in August, there was a convention in Birmingham, and I really wanted to go. I was still in treatment. I didn't have any money. So I went to that convention. I went to the registration desk, and I said, look, I'm in treatment. I'm from London. I haven't got any money, blah, blah, blah. Can I stay on someone's floor? Thinking like I was going to stay on someone's floor who lives in Birmingham. But they said, no, don't worry. Go and get yourself a cup of tea. Went and got tea. They called me back, and they said, we'll pay for you to stay in the hotel. And that kind of blew me away, you know, that blew me away, because people kind of trusted me before I could trust myself. People loved me before I could love myself. I was about 3 months clean at the time. You know, I could have been anyone, you know, but they showed me love, you know. And I'm grateful for that today. I really am. I started looking at the step, but what the steps meant to me 10 years ago is not what it means to me today. When I first come around, I said what other people said, you know. But like you, the steps have they've mean different things to me today. When I first come around, I used to go around and say, I'm powerless over this, I'm powerless over that, I'm powerless, 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 powerless. But today I am not powerless. You know, I was powerless. It says in the thing, we were powerless, but I'm not powerless today, you know, over my addiction. You know, I've got power over my addiction. And where do I get that power? From the meetings, from in here. This meeting, as we sit, and as I'm speaking here now, as you all in this meeting now, this room is powerful. You know, there's a lot of power in this room today. And this is where I come to get my power. You know, and this power gave me hope. Yous gave me hope, because I was hopeless when I first come to these meetings. I really was hopeless. I couldn't work. I couldn't pay my bills. I couldn't hold down relationships. I couldn't look after my son. You know, I couldn't look after my flat. But all those things, since I started coming to meetings, I've been able to do. You know, I grew up in the meetings. You know, I grew up. I became a man in meetings. You know, I thought I was a man before, but I wasn't a man. You know, I wasn't. I was a boy. You know, I was a kid. And when I came to meetings, I started getting responsible. You know, certain things I had to do. And it all started from meetings. You know, taking a meeting, being a tea person at a meeting. Like you said, you know, you gave me responsibilities. You taught me how to live, you know. Being a tea person, I have to buy biscuits, you know. I have to buy tea, you know. I have to buy, you know, all those things, you know, I couldn't do. But, you know, you gave me a chance to kind of learn how to live, you know. So I'm really, really grateful for that, you know. Step two talks about, you know, a power greater than myself, and it's a higher power. Yeah, and it could be anything. It could be anything you want it to be, really. And for me, it's something that over the years we've come to believe. I mean, it's not something you believe in immediately. From other people, they can believe it immediately. But for me, over the years, I've had to work and learn what my higher power is. Step three, you know. Gave me a lot of faith. Step three, you know, faith. Make a decision, you know, a decision-making thing. And I had to learn that myself in the rooms, you know, make a decision. And making a decision is not, you know, I have to put action. this program's about action. You know, it's not about me just sitting here and saying, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I have to do this stuff. I have to get up and do stuff, you know. It talks about a higher power. If you've got an higher power in your life will change. But, you know, if you just sit there and talk to your higher power, not do anything, nothing's going to change. So I've learned I have to get up and do things in the meetings and in my life as well. Because if I don't put action into my recovery, I'm going to stay behind. So getting a bit. Step four, you know, talks about inventory, you know, deal with the wreckage of my past. And I believe today I've dealt with that. You know, I've dealt with the wreckage of my past. And like you, I blamed everyone. You know, I blamed my parents. I blamed the police. I blamed the dealers. I blamed the probation officers. And it was all your fault, everyone's fault. But today I'm responsible for me today. And it's not my parents' fault that I use drugs. It's not the dealer's fault. It's not the judge's fault. It's not the probation officer's fault. It's down to me. I made that decision to pick up a drug on a daily basis. Then I became addicted where I didn't have a choice, but ultimately it was my choice to pick up the first drink and the first drug. You know, it's like someone, this just came into my mind just now, you know, someone, I needed to learn how to live my life. And I needed to come here and be taught how to live my life. Because it's like, what, this is something I heard in a meeting, you know, someone said the first time, like, it's like me as well, the first time I smoke a joint, I try to roll a joint, I didn't know how to do it. I did it, it was all over the place. I wasted after the bag. And someone taught me how to roll the joint. It's the same thing, someone taught me how to work the steps. Someone taught me how to live my life. So I have to listen to what other people are saying. You know, I have to go to coffee and get involved in the fellowship. You know, because I was that sort of person, once I put away the drugs, I was, because the drugs sort of like helped to start with. You know, it was okay. I was having fun with drugs. You know, it was about partying, it was about raving, it was about socializing, it was about feeling a part of, it was about being accepted. It was all those things that I didn't think I could do without putting drugs in my mouth. And then he just turned on me and I was, you know, it stopped working. And once I stopped using drugs, I didn't know how to live. It was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable in my own skin. And I needed to change that. I needed to learn how to live. And that's where the steps sort of like came in. And I was talking about step four, trying to deal with the wreckage of my past, all that resentments that Sue spoke about, you know, that I was holding on to, and sexual inventories, and, you know, and because I thought I was a bad person, you know, I thought. But and then I realized that I'm not a bad person, I was just addicted to drugs. And I could change. If I carry on working the steps, I will change. If I carry on in the program, I will change. And that's what's happened. You know, my life will be beyond my wildest dreams. And that's what's happened to me. Really, through doing service, you know, turning up, when I said I would, I was able to get myself a job, you know, and be responsible for me, because I always relied on the social security, you know. I felt the world hold me a living, but for the last sort of like 8 years or 9 years, I fend for myself, you know. I've got up every morning and gone to work, and the fellowship taught me how to do that. I didn't know how to do that before. Step five, you know, is about trusting someone else, you know. God, as like it says in the reading, you know, I needed to read it and be honest with myself, you know. And I don't, you know, I don't blame anyone anymore about my using. You know, it doesn't serve me well, and I don't want to dwell on my using either, because it doesn't serve me. That's not who I am today. You know, I'm a different person to the person who came here 10 years ago. I'm not that person. I've changed. I've changed a lot, you know. I'm responsible. And how have I changed? Really, by being responsible, you know, that's how I've changed. You know, the things that I've learned from here, like you were saying, you know, making amends, you know, I've had to do that. You know, I've had to bite my lip. I've had to, cheers all over the place, you know, and it's because I haven't really done a cheer for a long time. I've been away. Part joys of my recovery, I was able to live in another country for 2 years, and where I went to meetings, but it's not the format of the meetings are not, you don't do cheers, you read from the book. So I'm not used to doing cheers. I mean, before I went away, I was quite good at doing cheers. I was. But this one's all over the place. You have to bear with me. It's just all over the place. But, you know, I'm glad I'm doing it, to tell the truth. I really am. And it's my story, and it's all over the place. But, you know, I'm going to... What comes out, you know. And if you're new around and you don't get anything out of this chair, there's other meetings, man. There's loads of meetings. You know, there's loads of meetings. And if you don't like what I've said, go to another meeting, man. I'm sure you're gonna hit like what you hear in another meeting. So, you know, 20 minutes to go. I talk about what's happened to me in recovery. Let me talk about what's happened to me. Like you, I went on the plane. I went on holiday with, who was here on my first holiday? Spain it was. He was at a convention and I wanted to come home because I was scared. You know, it was out of my comfort zone. But people said, "Dee, take it easy, you know, just go to a meeting." And I did. I went to a meeting and it was okay. And then I went, the second holiday I went to was on my own. I went to Falaraki. He was mad. He really was. He was crazy. He really was. But, you know, I liked it. I didn't have to use. Then I started going to convention holidays, convention-related holidays, you know. Because at that time I was working, I was able to save up and go on holiday. But prior to that, I didn't know how to save. I didn't know how to put money away. What money meant to me was drugs. And it was all dough money. It was gyro money. I was a gyro junkie, gyro user. That's who I was, you know. So I had to learn to save money. And my addiction has manifested itself in other areas of my life, you know. Take away the drugs, I stayed clean, and then I started getting into collecting things. That caused me a lot of pain. You know, like trainers and jeans and t-shirts and, you know, thinking, you know, honestly thinking, like, if I dress up the outside, the inside would be all right. But it wasn't all right, you know. I was still in bits, you know. I was still in pain, you know. I was dressing up the outside, you know, that looked good, but the inside, it was hard work, because I needed to deal with the wreckage of my past. I needed to deal with why I used in the first place, you know. What made me a destructive person. And it was all around blaming other people, you know. It was about my stuff, really, was about my parents, you know, and today I don't really blame my mum and dad, you know. I live with my mum today. I stay with my mum. And you know, I was the sort of person who left home at the age of 14 years old. You know, I've looked after myself from the age of 14. In fact, this building is for young people in the day. It's for young people. And I used to come here. I used to hang about the West End, you know, Covent Garden, Leicester Square. I used to come in here and get sandwiches, get clothes, and you know. But at 10 years clean, I went back home. I come back off holiday. I come back from living in Thailand for 2 years, and I moved back home. And that was difficult at first, you know, because my mum, she's old, and then me staying there realized, like, really, my mum does love me, you know. And I might have been unhappy with some of the decisions she made for me and some of the stuff that happened, but ultimately she loved me. You know, ultimately, she had my best interest at heart. And because I was a naughty kid, I was a confused person, I thought she didn't care about me. And because I didn't care about myself, I blamed her. But today, I don't blame my mom, you know. In fact, I love my mom today. And she loves me. And I'm happy I'm with her. I'm staying with her. Yeah, a lot's happened in the last 10 years, you know. A lot. There's some areas of my life that I'm still... there's a few things that I've realised about myself today. Like, I'm responsible for me. You know, I've always... I crave love and settle for crumbs. You know, I have been in relationship with women that don't like me, that don't respect me. And I want to change them. You know, I think, like, because they don't like me, because they don't care about me, I can change them. And I would do anything to make them like me. And they didn't like me, you know. And that was a painful, painful place to be, to realize that, look, this is what I do. This is what I've always done, you know, with my life, you know. Go for unavailable women. And this would be funny to a few people, because I'm sure a few people can identify with this. It's like I break up with someone and they'll say, D, it's over. And I think, like, oh, they say, oh, phone me at 4 o'clock tonight. And that's what I did. That's what I was doing. You know, they'll say it's finished. And I say, okay. And I'll phone them up 2 hours later and think, yeah. I don't do that today. Because I've now realized that I'm responsible for me. Only me can love me, you know, and I put expectation on people, and it always leads to disappointment, you know. And I respect myself today. I love myself today to the point that if you don't like me, then it's your prerogative. I'll go and try to find somebody else who does, you know. Oh, I love me. I'll take care of me. Yeah, that's a revelation, that was. It really was. I'm responsible for me, the way I feel. And in my life today, I have to be happy. I have to be positive in my life today. Because if I put positivity out there, that's what I'm going to get back. If I put negative shit out there, that's what I'm going to attract back. So I try to live my life in a way that I'm putting positivity out there. I try to smile, I try to feel joy, I try to feel love, and then I attract that back into my life. And I honestly believe that. I really, really believe that. Like, what I put out there, I'm going to get back. Because when I was using that there, it was all about negativity, and that's what I was drawing to myself. But today, I don't put that out. I don't put negativity out there. I put love out there. I put joy out there. I want to talk about my son. I have a son who's 15 years old. I love him very much. But when I was using, I wasn't responsible. You know, I really wasn't. But today, I'm responsible for him, financially, emotionally, you know, and his mom. So that's a big, big, big change. That's a big, big change for me. What else is there that I can talk about? You know, you got to bear with me. I used to be good at doing chairs. this chair is okay. It's okay. Yeah. This is my stuff. You know what I mean? This is what I want to talk about. You know, like I said before, if you don't like it, go to another meeting. You know, the steps are really important. You know, 8 and 9. I mean, the step that I find that was really the turning point is not 4 and 5. It was that one of the character defects. That was what shifted a lot of things for me. 8 and 9, 6 and 7, because I realized my character defects are not all gonna be removed. I'm still gonna, like you said, you know, I'm still gonna do stuff that, you know, this program doesn't say promise perfection. You know, all it promises is freedom from active addiction. You know, I've got that freedom from active addiction, but you know, I'm glad for the defects of character that kind of come into my life, because I know I don't have to use a drink or a drug for them to, you know, I don't have to use, but I can, when the defect comes up, I can learn about myself. I can decide that I don't really want to be like that anymore. I don't want to act like that, because ultimately, if I do act out on my defects of character, I feel pain. And sometimes pain's a motivating factor in my life. It doesn't have to be, but for me, for this addict, pain is a motivating factor. And that's when I shift, that's when I change, when things get painful for me. What else? I've learned to meditate in the fellowship. I've learned to pray. Meditation. I was blessed to be able to go to Thailand. I lived in Thailand. I learned to meditate there. I've recently got back into meditating again. I pray every night, really pray every night. And that gives me a source of strength, really. Having a higher power in my life really gives me a lot of strength. I still do meetings, 3 or 4 meetings a week. I've learned I'm not really that good at sponsoring people, so I'm not a sponsor. I'm not cut out to be a sponsor. I do service. I like to do service. I'm cut out to do service. I work the steps, you know. My professional life, my work. I love what I do. I'm good at what I do. I get paid well for what I do. And the reason why I say that I'm good at what I do is because examples in my life. I got back off holiday and I was looking for work, and I was adamant I wasn't going to go back into recovery. I work in the field. I was adamant I wasn't going to do it again. I phoned someone up and they said to me, I said, "Oh, I'm back from Thailand." They said, "Yeah, you're back from Thailand." I said, yeah, I'm looking for work." They said, "Yeah, have you joined an agency?" I said, "No." They said, "How much money do you want?" You know, I said, "As much as I can get." You know, and that's what happened, you know, as much as I can get. And that's my reputation. You know, people know the sort of work I can do. You know, I'm good at what I do. Sometimes, you know, I've always got more to learn. I've always got more to learn. That's the one thing I've learned. I don't know everything, and I've always got a lot to learn. And the people that I like to hear in the rooms or people who are just new around because of the passion. I mean, I've lost a little bit of my passion. You can just tell by the way I'm speaking today, because I didn't have any problem sharing before in meetings, you know. I'm a good talker, but today I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. But it's okay, it's okay. How much more have I got? I've got another 10 minutes.
5 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank God for that. 5 minutes. Right. For the newcomer, and if you're struggling, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Now, that's what was said to me. It really, it's as simple as that. It works if you work it. You know, do service, you know. Don't leave before the miracle happens. That's what was said to me, and my life's a miracle. When I first come around, if someone had said to me, like, D, at 8 years clean, you're going to move up to Thailand and live there for 2 years in a foreign land, I would have said, you're lying. I really would have. I really would have said, you're lying. And for me, what's come out of that, I've made a decision to live in this country for 6 years, 6 months, and live in Thailand for 6 months. That's what recovery's given me. I've got a choice. You know, when I was using, I had no choice. You know, I was a slave to drugs. I couldn't get out of Kentish Town. I really couldn't. But today I can make a decision to live in another country for 6 months and live in England for 6 months. And I'm grateful for that, really. I mean, that's what gives me passion. Look, 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 I've changed all of a sudden. Passion, you know, because... No, this is what drives me. No, this drives me. No, it really does, because this recovery has given me freedom to be able to do that. It gave me an ability to get a job. I can work. I can save up money. You know, I work 7 days a week, and that's a choice, because I know for the next seven months, I'm going to lay on the beach and do nothing. No, and that's a gift. It really is a gift. You know, when I was in Thailand and I was getting moping around, getting a bit depressed, someone said, D, go and walk on the beach. Do you know how many people in London who want to be in your shoes today? You know, because I lose focus, I forget, you know, and I think, oh, fuck me, yeah. I go and dive in the sea. I think, yeah, so many people in London will want to be in my shoes today. And but I'm back in London, I'm working, and I'm going back. And that's my spiritual home. It's my spiritual home. There's meetings every day over there, you know. I think I'm going to wind it down. You know, if you're struggling, keep coming back. I'd like to say thank you very much to the committee. I'd like to say thanks to the fellowship, because you've given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And more is being revealed to me. Like before, I blamed everyone, but I'm responsible. It's ultimately me. I'm the one. You know, I'm responsible for me today. Not social services, not, you know, because, you know, I thought I couldn't imagine me working, paying tax, living in Thailand, working 7 days. Because only mugs worked where I come from. Idiots worked, you know. But yeah, I'll leave it there. Thanks.